Town of Moreau, Planning Board Meeting, Monday, February 26th, 2024, 7 o'clock p.m.
26th, which was a rescheduled meeting based on our holiday last Monday. We couldn't do it, so here we go. We're starting right out tonight at 7 o'clock with our first project, which is Interstate Northeast Towing. Do we have anything for that?
Yes, Jim's got all the paperwork and everything for the plot plan for you folks, and it was also submitted before it would be revised and the additional paperwork you guys are looking for.
And the other thing, John, I was not here at the last meeting, obviously, but there was some concern over this potentially being a junkyard. I provided an email explaining the justification behind the determination that was made prior to the meeting that this is not a junkyard. So I think that issue is behind us. So it is here for site plan review as an allowed commercial use in the C1 zone, businesses servicing highway traffic.
I think you're right that it's a permitted use.
Yes.
I think the question was, Sonny, I think we need to have what the junkyard is. And I don't know, for town code purposes, do we adopt the DMV definition?
No, we have a definition of junkyard. It is in the code.
Yeah, pretty.
And it relates, I think it's fairly sufficient. It relates to the idea of permanent storage of disabled vehicles, sale of parts, dismantling, that kind of a thing. None of that is current.
I do have printed off of the United States DMV what their classification of a junkyard definitely is.
Yeah. So I think the only question we have is whether they need to get a license if they happen to be a junkyard. So if they're not, they don't have to get a license. It's not a question whether it's permitted for land use.
Okay, anybody else have any other comments or concerns?
Your definition of junkyard salvage from here, say, what is a private appraiser?
I'm sorry, what was the official
one? This sheet that provided the definition of junk salvage business in New York, what is a drive-in appraiser?
That's where an appraisal company like Progressive, who started holding down the Central Avenue Colony, where they would take your wrecked vehicle to that facility, and they would have their own appraiser go in, do a drive-in to do an appraisal on the vehicle as like a holding type yard.
They actually had like a couple bays you would drive in. And
so it's like where they hold cars where you can be appraised?
Yes.
Yes. They closed it down and stuff, but
that's all closed up now and it's copper mail or not longer tomorrow.
That's what that serrated line is in the middle of that map, right?
Oh, I see. Okay. I see the demarcation right here.
Yeah, I did stop by. Thank you guys for moving around. That was very important. I like what I saw. I do have a bit of a problem. It's not you guys, really. It's just the definition of the town code when it comes to, I think it's qualifications. You know, I'm not saying what they're doing it shouldn't be happening. I just have a problem with that.
Well, I don't like emphasizing this point because I don't mean to be recommend it. But it's not the role of planning board members to be making determination on what a use is. That is the purview of the zoning administrator. If you're aggrieved by that, and you have standing, then you can bring an appeal to the zoning board of appeals. Anybody can do that, but you have to have standing. Has to be within a certain time frame of the determination being made. And I think, and that's 60 days, but we're well outside of the 60-day time frame. This junkyard issue on Route 9, what I was trying to emphasize in my email, has been long dispensed with prior to me even being here. Going back into the Joe Patrick days, maybe even before that. So we're all well outside of the 60-day time frame to bring in appeal. So
why are we here?
You're here to do site plan review of how the use occurs, not if it can, to put it in so many words.
Okay, so how it occurs?
Yes. It's not a question of if it's allowed. That question has been taken care of. That's another role and responsibility. It's not the role and responsibility of this board in the context of site plan review to determine if the use is allowed or not. It's just not your role. Again, I don't mean to be argumentative. I'm not trying to be, confrontational at all. But I just am gently trying to remind of the role here.
Well, the only reason I keep bringing up is because in the application it was directly stated that it's not a junkyard. So that makes me want to look into why they say it's not a junkyard. So I have a hard time throwing that back and forth. To me, it meets all the qualifications. If you're saying that it doesn't matter if it meets qualifications for our board.
No, I guess you and I are going to disagree about that.
Yeah.
Like I said in my email to you, there is no sales of parts going on here. There is no dismantling of vehicles going on here. There is no permanent storage of this non-roadworthy vehicles. Those are three tenets of a junkyard that are not occurring here. It's not a junkyard. The vehicles are stored up to 30 days, and only until such time...
They're stored more than 30 days.
That's not what was explained to me. If it's more than 30 days,
no,
that's news to me.
There's most of them are out there within a week or two.
I was there because I had a car there for 36 days, is what I was told. The guy told me that a lot of them stay there a minimum of 30
days. Well, that one was at 300. That 300, we were not the insurance. Yeah. The 300 was a rarity.
That was the insurance company having a battle between themselves on it, but they did leave. Again, it's not an everyday occurrence. It's very rare, to be honest. With the lot up here, that's probably happened twice.
Yeah, that wasn't what I was told. What I was told is that a lot of them stay there 30, or at least 30 days, because when they're in a car wreck and they're abandoned, they don't have insurance or something like that, they're abandoned and have to stay for 30 days until you guys...
They have to stay for, like we explained before, yes.
Yeah.
We own them after 30 days, and then they go to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
It might be a day or two, a few days after.
Okay.
So, it's not on a 30-day we're rushing the truck over there.
Right.
Yeah,
I think a lot of my questions were answered. I think we're just tip-for-tapping it a little bit now,
This has happened in the past with other applicants, other uses. The planning board sometimes strays into this, I don't agree with this being an allowed use. I don't like to bring this up, but nonetheless, that is the case. It's not your role.
I'd like clarification on that as well, just in terms of what zoning administrator's ability is to make that determination. I don't see it in the town code anywhere.
I
would think, again, you're advising us and we as a planning board to consult with you and come to conclusions. And I'm not disputing your determination in this case that this is a permitted use, but just as a general matter, I'm curious as to where that comes from.
Well, I could find the specific language in the code if you'd like to get into the details on this. But I don't want to belabor it now in this application in your review, but I can find you the terminology that does assign that role. It may not say zoning administrator. This is an old code. It may say enforcement officer or code enforcement officer or whatever term is used. But upon my hiring, that was the role assigned in the appointment of me as zoning administrator back in 2016.
So the planning board does not have the right to say it does or does not belong there. only the zoning administrator does?
That's correct, Mike.
Really?
That has been the case for...
Peter Jensen was pretty good about reminding that. He's no longer here, so now I'm taking on that, but...
I was trying to get to it, but you were doing such a great job of staying out of it. A couple other items, Jim, I wanted to add to your list of reasons this isn't a junkyard, too. Not to, you know, correct you, but none of these vehicles have salvage titles. In fact, I'm guessing that most of them are registered.
Yeah, when they first come.
And you don't own any of them.
Well, not until it's deemed abandoned.
Right, but at the point that they're deemed abandoned, you own them and they leave.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And they go to a...
Our junkyard. Yes, our junkyard. Yes.
So,
in Amsterdam.
With the stolen vehicles.
So what we're looking for, what we're looking for tonight, everybody, is do we have a complete application? Because if I'm not incorrect, we are not doing a public hearing tonight. We are preparing for a public hearing for this.
Yeah, you have to set one yet.
Right, because we didn't set one last week because we did not have a last month because we did not have a completed application. So with what we have in front of us, the MAPIS site plan, the EAF, or the short environmental assessment form, and things like that, do we have a complete application at this time? For site plan and for...
I got a couple questions on...
Absolutely.
On the site plan here. Where's the fuel tank on here? I don't see that.
Right next to the building, Rob. Right in the fence. Sorry, my writing is small today. I apologize.
Fuel tank, and I don't see the burns around the fuel tank.
Okay.
Just not burn.
Those need to be drawn in.
Okay, they need to be drawn in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Yeah. Just...
I have a photo.
That was a month ago.
Yeah, I have a photo. Right
on the record, that was a month ago. Okay. You promised me you didn't do it.
No, they're in there.
They're done.
Are they done now?
They've been done. I have a photo.
All right. All right. You want to put that on the plan for me?
It's 10 feet away from the building.
No, we didn't do the 10 feet away from the building.
Because it was a...
Didn't need to. His concern was that the burns, that the concrete wires were there.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
I think that's what we said. We didn't say anything about 10 feet away from the building.
Nope.
It's diesel, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Does it need to be 10 feet away from the building?
If it was gas, then yes,
it would need to be. But being diesel, realistically, it's a non-flammable.
Okay. If that garage goes up, they won't even drag the tank out of it. They'll just keep it cool. Well, it stays under, 1,500 degrees, maybe?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My
day
is overweight.
No, it's not. You're still up in the weight.
I left one down and
came to
another.
Okay, in case everybody didn't see it, from the back side of the page with the definition of junk and salvage business is the submission they made on the employee standard operating procedures for leaky vehicles, too.
Thank you. Do you want a photo of it also in the paperwork?
I can go without the photo. I got it.
Perfect.
Just so we get, is there something else being submitted? Or
just the box, most of the blocks that we put around the fuel tanks put on the drawing.
Yeah. Last time we also discussed the lighting plan. I guess it might be.
We're not putting anything in there. The one light that's on the building is marked on the paperwork.
So,
could be operating 24/7.
Not the light.
No,
it's
your operation.
Yes. Emergency calling is 24/7, 365 days.
And you're limiting this to 40 vehicles?
40 vehicles, correct.
And not staying any longer than 30 days?
No.
And again, usually there's not 40 vehicles. There's a couple of snowstorms.
Yeah.
Back to back.
The snowstorm accidents is where you're going to get the majority of them, but again, most of the stuff is coming within a week or two or that day.
Seems like those days are gone.
We don't have snow anymore.
What do we do about the gate in the back? That's not on here either.
Yeah,
they have a drum.
Yes, sir.
It's written 16.
16 foot post, but not one.
Well, it must not be your glasses, no.
Straight back.
And Mike, it's actually a unique thing that their back lot fence gate has a driveway at it. It's not theirs, but there is access there.
Yeah.
Did Garfield approve this?
Well, we're fine with it.
You're fine with Garfield?
In fact, I have a letter from him sitting on my desk for you guys.
If you want to bring that with us?
Yes, sir.
Is there a right jump to Garfield if they got it?
Yeah, who's Garfield, the property owner in the rear?
He's the one who owns the
Garfield Raymond?
Yeah, he's the one.
Yeah.
Letter from Garfield Raymond?
Yeah.
A good one, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's why I asked.
There's an oldie, but a good
So we got
that's what I asked.
We got to frame that one up. That's a good one.
Yeah, I want a picture of that.
Okay. Oh, you're going to get it.
The only thing I'll say is make sure it's written in permanent ink.
Oh, man.
I thought that would get your attention, Jim. I could have took a second, but...
That is awful on the record.
Sorry, that went to dark, but we're okay.
Book, that's what I'll start.
Okay, guys, anything else? And just to be clear, if you come back in a month for the public hearing and the little blocks aren't shown on the map, then you don't have a complete application.
Perfect.
So make sure that's done. The next one, please. You know.
And things that's what we use.
What did we do about snow removal?
It said to me we ordered a lot. A little bit of snow we got.
And then it goes along that paved edge on the front. Front usually goes to that paved edge there. And then the back, it shows in the back.
Have we required that to be on, Jim?
Yes. Yep.
That needs to be on the final tier. This is where you're going to...
Where are we pushing this?
Where you're going to pile your salt.
Okay.
That right. Needs to be on there.
What's the like that? Not a problem.
Jim, can we just look into the storage tank, fuel storage tank, and the minimum distance that should be from the building?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
Because I think that there is a requirement for, depending on that usage, right, of that storage tank, it's temporary or permanent, there's a requirement for keeping it away from the building.
What was the tank used for? Diesel fuel?
Diesel fuel for the trucks. It's 750 gallon. It is on a skid, that's what I'm going to be.
What I'm going to do, I'm taking notes. I'm going to put this in an itemized email to you.
Yes, sir.
And it will be due by the submission date of our next meeting, which is the first Monday of the month.
Okay.
So you got some time, but we're a little compressed here because we got a week's delay on this meeting. So
you'll get it by that first Monday. You'll have it.
All right.
The
existing lighting is the one light marked on the plans for you. That is it.
Okay.
And what would we figure about hours of operation?
We operate 24/7, 365 because we're an emergency shelter based company for the police departments and the general public.
Okay.
But for people picking up
the office itself is only 8-4 that they're open up. So if your car is 8-6, excuse me, about it. If you came to get your vehicle, your operation hours that you're able to come to the facility to do anything is 8-6. That's it.
Okay, but we also have a noise ordinance in hours of work. So,
okay.
Jim, how do we handle that with them
guys? Well, we change the delivery as long as
we get complaints.
The complaints, they'd have to be made to the town billing department, to Pete, our code enforcement officer, and... for it to be, you know, there has to be noise levels that are above the ambient levels for the neighborhood.
All right. They've been pretty good about it. I haven't, you know.
No, I can see, though, where they would have instances where it could go over.
Yeah, so, yeah, I understand.
But the office hours are 8-6?
Yes, sir.
And we did reschedule the fuel delivery.
What's that?
We did reschedule the fuel delivery.
Okay,
great. The service are running. Well, they're trying to get it scheduled in. They've already made the deliveries past that. They may get past 8. They know they're not out in the gate before 8 o'clock.
Okay.
So
that's good. That'll work. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. And your place is cleaner than the rest of them up and down Route 9.
Sure.
Yeah.
I took the wreaths down today. I took the wreaths down today, finally.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. I had a Merry Christmas sign. I was going to stop and hang out.
I was going to put eggs on it.
If you don't mind me asking, who services the fuel tank?
Long Energy.
Long Energy does.
They're there twice a week to fill it.
Is
that a tank you lease from them?
Yeah. Yeah, everything's leased.
Oh, yeah. There was a possibility on that.
And it's a brand new tank, too. I mean, you saw it. So
yeah. I'm well in the Ag District.
Yeah, when I was there, it was about
better in the springtime, but you know, the winters.
The only thing I'd like to see would be completely paved, so
yeah.
I understand.
Eventually, that we do want to do that. We would love to do that.
Absolutely.
But right now, we have no winters, so honestly, this is kind of slow. So,
yes.
We're not even getting cold weather.
It's going to be just a
little shiny.
I just have one last question. What was the prior use of this building before you moved in?
Warehouse.
Yes,
warehousing chemicals.
The septic tank, chemical warehouse company.
I don't remember the name of it, I'm sorry. But there was chemicals for your septic tank.
This got site plan review in just when I was coming into the town in 2016. I think the application actually came in the early part of 2016 or maybe late 2015. And it was approved for like general commercial use.
It was the guy who had a business relining the inside of culverts. And he got approval for it to not even store stuff there. His trucks were to be inside. It was a really tight approval. I don't know that he ever even took use of the building with that approval. And then Then it became the dog obedience training facility for a while until they moved across the street into their own building. I don't ever remember anything coming into us for septic chemical business.
Well, I just don't know what kind of business it was.
No
line
of
sight. RCI, actually. I remember.
Yeah.
RCI.
So my guess is that came in without ever coming in front of this board for a change of use. So.
And they actually did attempt to file a site plan application for this, but it was right in March of 2020 when everything was shutting down.
Yeah. So anything else, guys, that we want to see before we schedule a public hearing? If not, I will entertain a motion from somebody. If somebody would like to make one.
I make a motion that we schedule this project for a public hearing at the next meeting of the planning board on March
18th.
7:01. Okay, we have a motion now.
7:01.
We have a motion for a public hearing for this proposal, March 18th, 7:01 p.m. Do I have a second?
A second.
Yeah, Adam? I have a second from Adam. Motion and a second. Is there any discussion on scheduling a public hearing for this? Hearing none. I don't really think this is terribly controversial. So all in favor of setting a public hearing for this project, 3:18 at 7:01 p.m. Our next available meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Hearing no opposition, the ayes have it. We have a public hearing next month at 7:01 p.m. We could be a little late. We can't be early. We'll give you a couple minutes. So
okay.
We'll call it at 7:01. At 7:04, you're on the April meeting. You're on the, yeah.
No, we're here.
Okay.
We'll
this has to be noticed. Okay.
Yeah, we take care of the notice on the public hearing. I just want to, before we conclude the discussion, I want to also clarify the seeker type on this.
Okay.
Now, as I was saying, zoning determinations are the purview of the zoning administrator. Setting the seeker type is your purview. I typically advise, but it's your call to make.
Right.
I think this meets the type 2 standard for being exempt.
Yes.
As a commercial use under 4,000 square feet installation of a commercial use. But it's not my call. It's your call to make. If you think this should be, I don't think price is a type 1, certainly. I think that's clear, but if it's unlisted, then we have to do a seeker.
When you say you're calling, you're the board or you're the me?
You're
acting chair.
You're the board.
Okay.
The board's call on.
Reason why this couldn't be considered a type 2 application? Or shouldn't be considered a type 2 application?
Type 2, just for all members' benefit. In the seeker law, State Environmental Quality Review Act breaks down proposed actions into type. Type 1 are those actions that are likely to have environmental impact, and they go through a list. I think there's 21 or 22 of them, and it's a basic like quantifications of elements of a project that might cause impact, like exceeding a certain number of housing units that cause undue, you know, wastewater, traffic, that type of thing is just one example. Various sizes of commercial use, that kind of thing. And then there's type two, which are exempt from environmental assessment, and they are also listed, and they're quantified and pretty well defined. And if you get a project that doesn't meet either one of those lists, then it's unlisted and is still subject to environmental assessment. In this case, there is an exemption. I did provide, I think, an email to that effect as well, for commercial use under a certain threshold, which I think this qualifies for. However, that's just my advice to you. If you read it differently, that's certainly fine, and we can classify this as unlisted, and then it's subject to environmental assessment.
So, Jim, I think you're looking at reuse of a commercial structure or property.
Yes.
Number 18.
Yeah.
Which is a permitted use under the applicable zoning.
Right.
Yep.
I think that fits.
Yeah, with the limited scope and everything.
All right, I just want to make sure if that's the consensus, then the applicant does not have to prepare a part one, and there is no environmental assessment done.
So, determination that I can make based on the discussion, or is it a determination that we should have a roll call or a vote?
I mean,
we don't normally have a vote. We normally just have concurrence from the chairman and say that's yeah.
Correct.
So
I just want to make sure we had that discussion in case anybody was wondering.
I'm not hearing anybody jump up and say it's an unlisted or a type one at all. And certainly, even if they did, I haven't heard any argument to say that it's legitimate. So I would concur that this is a type two, and we'll just move on from there.
All right, then I'm going to go through the list as I heard the discussion, just for everybody.
Yep.
That'll be in the email tomorrow.
Yep.
Add blocks around the fuel tanks. Blocks are currently not shown on the site plan. No lights are being added. The one light that is providing illumination to the site is an existing wall light, and that is to remain. That's the only form of illumination. There will be a 40-vehicle limit on the number of disabled vehicles on site at any one time. Letter from Garfield Raymond regarding access through the rear gate, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Snow removal areas are to be shown on the site plan. The storage tank separation from the building is to be determined for the 750-gallon diesel storage tank, and then that will be the location shown on the site plan. Hours of operation for the towing service is 24/7. Office hours are 8 to 6.
Monday through Friday.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Noise levels must comply with the town code. The public hearing will be held on Monday, March 18th at 7:01 p.m. That's it.
Yes, sir.
Jim, you're going to make the determination on the separation between the building and the fuel tank?
I was going to ask Matt about that, because the state building code, I think, would control on that.
Yeah.
And you'll let them know?
As well. Sorry.
Oh. 30-day limit?
On storage.
Yep. Got a 30-day limit on storage or vehicles on site.
Yep.
There's only one other thing I think we forgot to talk about. And that is, if you guys get hazardous waste trucks in there or anything like that.
No, we discussed that last time. They don't go there.
They don't go there.
They don't go there.
I'm going to put them there.
Right out the engine.
We're going right out. Same thing with the electric vehicles. They're not going to be stored there.
Nope.
Okay.
They won't be at that location.
The electric vehicles are going down below?
Yes, so. Yeah.
Okay.
We have a lot more open land out there, so they can burn it.
Let them burn, yeah.
Well, that was also listed as a junkyard out there also. So.
Okay. Does that need to be in the site plan, Jim?
Yep.
Vehicles, hazardous
Yeah, I'm going to put that and add those points to the email.
Okay.
No hazardous waste trucks on site, no EVs on site, and a 30-day limit for storage of vehicles on site.
Now, should we put...
Okay, so hang on just one second. They basically told us tonight that vehicles that are abandoned, they have to wait 30 days before they take ownership and they can then move them. So do we want to put a 31-day limit on vehicles there?
Why wouldn't we put a 45-day limit on there?
That's what I think.
Because they say you did have vehicles.
No,
36 days.
Right. Why don't we put a 45-day limit?
That would work a lot better for us.
Would that be better for you guys?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of
break. So our goal would still be to get them out at 30.
Right.
We're not going to, you know.
Okay.
We'd like to keep that site clean.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, 45 days it is.
That work? And then one more thing is like... you know, I hate to say this or anything, but, you know, we get large buses, and but there's a lot of stuff that goes on that Northway, only because I deal with it myself. Large buses, large vehicles, things like that. Do they come into your yard, too?
Yes. And as soon as the assessors, usually they're on point on that.
The last one we had, I mean, it was there for like...
Less than a week. Tractor-trailer.
I was going to say, is that one tractor you had in there?
Yeah, one tractor was in there. It was out within a very short period of time. There stood, and they left both within a very short period of time.
Yeah, storage is very expensive for tractor-trailers.
Yeah.
We do not like to keep them there.
Yeah. Should we put a limit on those?
I know they have said the storage and stuff is...
It depends on the insurance company. I mean, to say that I can only keep it there for 7 days, and then it takes the insurance company, say, 10 days, you know, that's as good.
No, I think you were talking about number of trucks, not days.
Number of large vehicles here is what I'm looking at. You know, you get a cement truck over, or a fuel oil tank truck tipped over, or a propane truck.
We're in a rotation with three other companies, so we don't get every heavy wreck, and they don't happen.
They don't
have to about once a month or so. So we have to wait on a rotation. We get called for a heavy wreck going once every 3 months.
I personally think that putting a limit on the size of, like, the amount of size or large vehicles on there would be not the best idea either. Because in the worst case event, where you have like a 20 car accident or semi trailers, now we don't have a place to put them in a timely manner to get the 97 cleared in this area. So by doing that, you kind of limit it. You know, if you only have about five. We can only get five in there.
So I think that work for you guys?
Up to five, or no?
Well, they're already limited by the size of the yard.
The yard is only so big, and only so much stuff into it. And again, I'm kind of handcuffed also at the same time on the owner of the truck and the insurance company on the timing of it. Most of it, again, generally within a day, 2 weeks, it's out of the yard.
Okay.
Right,
40 spaces, but those six take up more than.
Yeah, we'll be screwed if we get five in there.
Okay, I'm good. Thank you.
All right, so that's everything. If that's the case, then gentlemen, we will see you at 7:01 on March 18th. Do you have any questions for us?
No, you guys.
No.
Give them a call at the office. Okay, make sure you have all your stuff lined up, and we will have a public hearing. My guess is there won't be a huge crowd of people, but you never know. Sometimes people come
here.
The submission date is March 4th.
No, I'll have it. You'll have it towards the end of the week.
Okay.
As soon as you get me off the email, I'll have this redone.
I'll have the email out to you tomorrow.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moving right along, we had a cancellation. For our next item, which our next item was the planned unit development for Jacoby Parkside Farms, and that one has been delayed into our March meeting, so we will not be seeing them this evening. I should have mentioned that at the beginning of the meeting in case anybody was here for that, but I didn't. My mistake. So, moving on from there. Next up we have Arrowhead Meadows, LLC. This is a modification of an approved subdivision. Tell us the story. What do you got?
So good evening. This is both Arrowhead Meadows and the next item.
You are?
All right, Joe Danable with the Environmental Design Partnership.
I know that, but the recording doesn't, so perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, I always never mind. Chairman, if you will, the project in front of you is both Arrowhead Meadows and SHR TJM LLC.
You're not combining them?
There is two separate projects, however, we're presenting them together because they work integral into each other. If you don't mind me presenting them one, or you'll need two separate presentations.
Well, as you can see, we have a lot of new faces up here. This was approved, or almost completely final approved. I think it was actually, it went to final approval. This is a change to it, right? If I remember correctly, this went to final approval as a single subdivision.
That's correct.
Then it came back in front of us and got split for reasons that you know, might want to share, I don't know. And then, since then, it's now there's a revision because it's being tied into septic or sewer instead of individual independent septic systems.
And this current iteration got final approval.
Yes.
In like 2019?
2021.
Without sewer.
Without sewer, but the plat was never signed.
Right.
Because there was a conditional approval, they were in the process of meeting their conditions, and then
a law was
back.
Changed.
But there was never a signed plat, so it never got final approval.
Okay.
Okay.
So what you're doing is you're asking us to review these two separate subdivisions as one subdivision.
I was going to present them together. There still would be two actions if needed, but
because these aren't
in the sense of time, I was going to do them together. I can certainly do them separately.
Because these aren't two phases.
No,
two separate subdivisions.
And is one reliant on the other?
Yes.
Okay.
For roads, stormwater to some degree, right?
Some stormwater to a degree, yes.
Yeah.
Water connection.
Water connection, sewer connection.
Sewer connection, the
whole thing. Yeah. I'll just present them separately. It seems
so
like
I'll ask Jim, do we have a problem with doing them combined? Or
I do not, however, I would split out your resolutions. Should you make any decisions, I would split them out by the individual projects. I think it actually helps understand what's going on if you present it as one project.
Or we could just say, hey, why don't you go back, put them back together, and then come back in front of us, and it makes it easier. We don't have to do redundant stuff.
Can't do that.
Thank you. Next time.
Two separate owners, two separate applicants.
They could form a partnership. There we go. Next. All right. So we will move forward at this point as a combined review until it doesn't work. And then we will stop that. So there you go. Make it work.
Okay. So again, for the record, Joe Danable with the Environmental Design Partnership here on behalf of Arrowhead Meadows and SHR TJM and their application for an amended subdivision review. As stated, in 2021, the applicant received approval for an 84 lot, or two subdivisions totaling 84 lots, connected to public water and individual septic systems on each lot. As was stated, that was the final approval. It was never received final stamps. The town was very was adamant about this project connecting to the sanitary sewer system that was constructed on Bluebird Road out to Route 9 and the system that is now extending down into Saratoga County. The line is nearing its completion now. Connections to it are imminent. And we are proposing to revise the subdivision from 84 lots on septic system to 81 total lots between the two parcels, with connection to sanitary sewer.
Okay, so before we go any further, everything in front of us says 83 lots. Do we have the wrong information in front of us?
This is an error, I didn't do that.
Yeah,
and it's 84 here.
There are 81 building lots, there's other HOA parcels.
So I'm looking at our agenda, and it says 83 lots. 44 and 39.
It almost says 84.
But it's also listing it as phase 1 and phase 2. which you said that's not phase one, phase two. So, go ahead. I'm sorry. It's not part of the application.
Now, just for the record, Katrina did check in the office before we formalized the agenda. And at the time, we were told 83 lots. So, just to get that on the record. So,
okay.
Maybe something got lost in translation here, but we did check and we were told 83 lots.
81 lots. We were at 84 for between the two when they were originally approved. We reduced three lots to make some of the lots larger. We essentially took three lots and their lot widths and then redistributed those lot widths throughout, so we only have 81 lots. We want a little more space. The builder that's looking to build us wanted a little more space on the lot, so we reduced it in total by three lots to 81, and we're connecting it to sanitary sewer.
So that Joe, how many lots are now with the common area lot and HOA lots or lot? How many are total? 82 or is it more than that?
There's 81 building lots.
Yes.
That I am certain of. HOA lots.
There could be two.
Yeah, there's two. The one that goes around the outside and then there's one in the middle.
Maybe three.
Oh, yeah, because I forgot the one in phase.
One, two, three.
Okay.
HOA lots. Which is identical. This is the current proposal. This is what was approved by the board. Nearly identical. The road network didn't change. The open space is still surrounding the site. The two open spaces in the middle. There's three less building lots. And we're now connecting to sanitary sewer rather than putting the sewage into septic systems and into the ground, which was the desire of the town for that. If the town didn't desire the connection to the septic system or sanitary sewer, we would be pursuing and finalizing the plan for the septic systems. And that's all we really have. It's pretty straightforward, pretty minor. Nothing significant here. We reduced the environmental impacts associated with the project. Seeker was completed in 2021. Just looking to re-approve the project as a minor amendment.
Just up to the town to get the sewer approved and move on, right? Good.
Were you aware that another subdivision that's proposed near this one is proposing to run a sewer line on the HOA property on this site?
I understand there are discussions between the developers related to that. I don't know if that's exactly been finalized, but I know there is discussion and I know there is room on this site to accommodate that.
Because it's not showing up on the map, so that's why I wondered. Because it showed up.
Will that affect sizing? Sizing of the infrastructure, will that be impacted by?
My understanding is it's going to be an independent line connecting to the main on Bloomberg.
Using it for an access.
That really doesn't have anything to do with planning anyway, does it? Size of the mains or anything?
Well, where utilities are on the site does, yeah.
For the purpose of this evening, what happens with the sewer in the south shouldn't really have anything to do with our subdivision.
All right, so hang on, don't get nervous. I'm not saying it has anything to do with your subdivision other than in their proposal they showed the line going through your subdivision, which makes it have something to do with your subdivision, right? It's part of the site plan or no?
This site plan has nothing to do with our site plan. Their sewer line is completely independent of this project. This owner in the HOA would need to grant an easement to that adjacent subdivision.
So you're not sharing any pipes or anything like that?
No. Right. It's a completely independent line.
How does the 81 building lots break down between the SRH and the Arrowhead Meadows?
Arrowhead Meadows is 42-39. I'm TJMSHR. I did my math right now.
Cool. Very close.
is land available for a connection on this property. Ultimately, that's up to whatever gets approved on the other subdivision.
So the other subdivision hasn't had, the only thing they have is a line to the road. So, but yeah, but that's not on every plan. But that's not, I get that that's not review, but you did have at one time a walkway or path in that outer ring HOA. Proposed, yeah.
This plan here?
Yep. Now, I don't know if that was when it was one project or two or when, but there was a proposal. And I don't know if it was even a solid proposal. There was a thing that it could be put in.
I think it was on the final.
Yeah, that was pretty much on the final. I don't know if it was on the map, though.
Yeah, my impression was that was a could be installed if the
Board of
Association decides they want it.
That was something we talked about because we might keep the kids off of Bluebird Road the ones that left.
Yeah, right now there is no physical connection between these two subdivisions and the park. There's no way to get there unless you cross over other private lands.
Yeah, this
and that was already all approved in the previous application. We're not modifying anything that was approved in the previous application other than connection to sewer and reducing it by 3 lots. Nothing else in the previous approval has changed.
I think what was said in the previous one is that they would have no problem to putting a trail in there, you know, for people to access. In fact, I'm almost positive there was one in that intersection, but I think it was just, hey, I'm all for it. But that was a different building that was saying that. That was before it's been rolled into my district.
Those kids will make the trail.
And it's up to them to decide if they want to do that anyway.
Yeah.
It's not something that we can
get. Sure, how we left that. It's been a couple of years now.
That's how it was left, and they actually had said that there's access in the one point. There's 2 lots in that corner where there was access from the road.
Yeah.
It's a great place to do it, but it does depend on, because there's only one point of contact in that corner. It depended on if somebody built in that next section below, then providing some kind of access way. And they did not seem, neither of the builders that have expressed an interest in that project have ever seemed to be all that interested in allowing that.
Well,
so
you get a nice housing development behind that one there.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So the main changes here, you're getting rid of septic and moving the sewer. You've gotten rid of 3 building lots.
Yes.
Where are our pump stations and all going? Are they going in?
No pump stations. These are individual grinder pumps with a low pressure force main.
On each unit?
Each unit will have to own a grinder pump, low pressure force main within the street that will be dedicated to the town we're up.
Okay, and it just ties in at Bluebird Road?
Correct.
So now, out of curiosity, what size force main are they looking in? What is like 4 inches or something? Just out of curiosity?
It's probably going to be a combination of 1.5 inches, 2 inches, may reach 3 inches.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. 3 inch where it connects the motor.
Pretty sharp.
Sure. 3 inch long. With 81 houses.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm not questioning it. I'm impressed.
Yeah. It's a low pressure force main. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole mathematical equation about how many pumps are running simultaneously.
Just out of curiosity. So.
Well, just to be clear on the number of lots, Arrowhead's now 42 and it was a 42, right?
Arrowhead was 44.
Was 41. So it's
Arrowhead was 44. And went to
42.
And then the other one went from what to 39?
40 to 39.
So are you going to be loosening site plans with the new lot configuration?
That is what's in front of
the board. Why not a utility plan?
The utility plan.
There'll be a whole new plan set in.
Yeah, okay, that's not.
And then that'll be subject to signature and review.
I got a question.
Oh, hang on a second, sir.
Oh, sorry.
If you're, I'll entertain a question. You have to tell us your name.
Okay, my name is Ruben.
Because the recording doesn't know who you are.
My name is Ruben Ward. I live on Gainesville Road. Our property borders the Kobe property, just up the valley road from here. My concern is, anything consideration been done about traffic?
Yes. Do you want to explain that? You have a traffic study? Yeah.
So there was in 2021 a combined traffic study done for the 84 lots, we'll call it Arrowhead Meadows, and at the time 49 lots associated with Jacoby. The impacts associated with that, the conclusions of that study and recommendations showed that the traffic impacts did not create the need for any mitigation within the area. So there was no impact to level of service at any of the studied intersections.
How large of a study did that go out for all roads? Did that go all the way to S-17?
It did not go that far. It went to
Bluebird and
Vansmore and Vansmore to
Bluebird and 32, Toronto, 32 and Reservoir.
You went to 9, Fort Edward, Reynolds, Vansmore, Bluebird.
Yeah, so this is the new study was February 5th of this year. And this one does show a reduction in level of service to D at the intersection of 32 and Reservoir Road.
Is that is that for this project or is that?
Well, it's a combined project, I think is the way they looked at it.
Is that the one that came though for Jacoby as a traffic thing or?
This is the one we just got a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Great man. The one we got previously was February 2021, done by another person. OSPA and reviewed by GPI.
And so I had
the one for February 2021 was combined. It was all three subdivisions as proposed at that time when Jacoby was a smaller development. Actually, this one that we have for February is for Jacoby Farm.
Correct.
Yeah.
Not this project.
Right, and herein lies the problem with that. I'm up for interpretation on this, but my personal opinion is that we don't ask most applicants to do a traffic study assuming future projects that haven't gotten approval. So Jacoby Farms is not even an allowed use yet. It's going to require a PUD.
Yeah.
However, obviously, if this one gets approved, and then Jacoby Farms comes in front of us, their traffic study must include the traffic considered for this one, even if it hasn't been built yet, because it's already approved. So, but I think the one that showed the really drop there, that D-level thing, was including that 191 units for Jacoby Farms, which was, and your project.
Correct.
Okay. So.
So can I ask a question about traffic studies?
Sure. I think I know what you're going to ask, but go ahead.
Why are they only in a certain area? You know, we do a traffic study and they involve Route 32, Bluebird Road. They're not going to the problem that we have. The problem is Route 9. That's not part of the traffic study that's being involved in these new.
This one goes out to Route 9, it goes out to Reynolds Road. All right. But you're talking about Route 9, exit 17.
And Glens Falls Bridge and stuff. I mean, people going north and south when they work in the morning, coming home in the evening. And we keep adding and adding and adding. And these traffic studies that we do, everything says we're fine. Well, we're not fine. If you're a person that travels to work, travels back and forth, we're not fine. We're not fine.
It involves people
that commute. It involves emergency vehicles.
Okay.
It involves school vehicles, kids getting to school on time, bell times, kids being on school buses hours,
people being in their vehicles for hours, going back and forth to work. So when we do these traffic studies, we need to look at a traffic study and spread it out. I mean, we're adding a couple hundred here, a couple hundred there, a couple hundred there. And every time we add a unit, we add a couple of vehicles.
So I don't know the peak, but I want to make the statement for the record that a negative declaration was issued for Seeker that the traffic associated with the 84 lots has no impact.
Yeah.
We are reducing the amount of trips associated with that because we've reduced this project by three. So I would contest that there is no new environmental impact associated with Seeker. If anything, we've reduced the amount of traffic associated with this project.
Well, to answer your question, Mike, that's correct. There was a neg deck issued on this in the traffic, at a slightly higher rate given the slightly higher number of lots. To answer your question, a couple things. First of all, if you get a traffic study back and you do not like the radius of study, in other words, the capture area,
yeah,
you can request that it be widened.
Okay.
Okay. As a board, you can do that. If you have, reason to think that there's potentially greater impact in a wider area, you can ask for that study. The other thing that will happen, though, is as you get farther away from the project site,
yep,
the dispersal of traffic is a natural occurrence. And so it gets diluted. And then the other thing that becomes more difficult for the traffic projection to accommodate is the reliability of the trips, the turning movements, and all that become less and less as you get wider and wider away because you're less certain as to where the cars are going, origin and destination, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Accuracy.
So the accuracy drops. However, in my opinion, I think it's a worthwhile thing. If you want to, if you're within any reasonable distance of Route 9 and you want to assess the cumulative impact on that over time, it's a worthwhile thing to do.
Okay, thank
you. But I just caution you that, that trip generation gets diluted and dispersed throughout the system the farther away you go from the project source, and therefore it becomes more difficult to accurately project where they're going.
Do we have the cognizance of our plan board to potentially request a traffic study done for the whole town?
That was done on Route 9, I bet you it was 20 years ago now.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
There was a Route 9 corridor study done that did look at not just traffic on Route 9, but appropriate land uses along Route 9 as well. And it's a little dated, but the answer to your question is yes. But the traditional problem is you have no authority to appropriate funds.
And the town board has to.
But what you could do is, though, you as a board can resolve by resolution to ask the town board undertake that kind of study.
Yeah.
Just based on the work you're doing, as Mike just said, you're seeing these increases and it's happening incrementally and it's difficult to assess, so we'd like an assessment done of that corridor and projections made and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there are probably a number of them where a study of that kind would be worthwhile, including Fort Edwards Road, Bluebird Road.
Now, in further answer to your question, you can take this out to an even greater degree. Like, for example, the town of Malta a few years back did a townwide traffic study for the point of determining assessment of impact fees. And they now have an impact fee schedule for trip generation based on projects that come before that board. And it was a generic environmental impact statement was done assessing townwide traffic in varying levels of threshold failing intersections, intersection operations, all that kind of stuff. And now when a project comes before them, and based on the trip generation, a per car assessment fee is extracted, and that's put into an account that helps offset the mitigation of future traffic improvements in the town. And that's a, you can do that process. It, you know, it, it's a pretty structured approach, and you can get to that endpoint.
Yeah, I think what I'm going for is more for a potential traffic study that's done, and then you take the numbers based on each route they go, and now you have a baseline percentage of each person who lives in the town of Moreau tends to travel through this area, this route. So every time we have a new project that comes in that generates anywhere between 81 to 162 potential drives per day, we now know that 41 of those people are likely to go to Exit 17, 27 are supposed to be.
Yeah, you, you can be very beneficial. You can get to that. You can get to those scenarios.
Yeah, you have a basic ratio that you can just do some basic calculus for.
But you as a board can make resolve to ask the town board to undertake that study for your benefit and future planning.
So, well, it's starting to. You hear people complain about it all the time. You know, on north and south Route 9, and you know there's a couple hours in the morning and a couple hours in the evening. People.
I see it when I leave the town hall on Thursday evenings. I see it at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's oftentimes backed out up onto the interstate. The DOT really doesn't like that.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, but that falls under DOT. And that was one thing I was going to say, is if you really want to delve into it, the Department of Transportation does traffic studies on a regular basis for impacts as far as their roadways. They supposedly did all that work at Exit 17 to mediate or to mitigate that problem of it backing up onto the Northway. Okay. Now, having lived right next to the Northway and watched it since I was 4, I can tell you right now that it used to be times, other than Memorial Day, Labor Day, and 4th of July, where you could go minutes between cars going by. All right, and now at 4:30 in the morning till about 9 at night, it's a steady flow of traffic. So what I was going to say about other changes in traffic is, about 3 months ago, Essity closed down.
Yep.
There's 300 fewer employees driving to and from work or commuting. One of the things that came up when we were looking at traffic with our truck group was we said, oh my God, we've got all these trucks, and we did a quick call to DOT, and DOT let us know that truck traffic on Reynolds Road is now diminished from what it was 20 years ago. Because there was a period of time where they were doing repair work in Hudson Falls and Fort Edward, and people started getting those neat little things that tell them directions on how to get someplace, and now truck traffic going to Fort Ann from 149 from Exit 20 has increased a certain amount. And the number of trucks on Reynolds Road has decreased by almost that same amount. So those things all change. And that's, you know, so when you were talking about with traffic leaving this development, if you could imagine a car coming to that one road on 32 and taking a left. Now they go up, that car can choose. Are they going to take a right on the Reynolds Road or left? Or then they go up, or not Reynolds Road, Reservoir Road. Maybe they go up the Reynolds Road. Now they can decide, are we going to keep going straight on 32, take a left on Reynolds Road, or a right towards Route 9? So once you get beyond that point, all of a sudden the options just really multiply. It becomes almost exponential. It gets really hard to get an accurate idea because we're just assuming that everybody leaves these developments and goes to Exit 17.
No, I'm not assuming that. Not at all.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I say, oh my God, that's where all the traffic's going, except it probably isn't. There's probably some of it going north and some of it going east. And, you know, so it just gets, once you get out, all of a sudden the possibilities become much more complicated.
Why don't I suggest that for potentially the March meeting or the April meeting, we list an agenda item for discussion.
Yeah.
You know, about such a resolution might leading, you know, being passed out of the town board. Because there's other information that's relevant here. I don't want to get into it now because it's a longer discussion. But There are mechanisms that exist to get this kind of study done, and it's not even on the town's nickel. Like that Route 9 study, that was funded through a different mechanism that I can talk about, but we can have that as a discussion item on the March meeting if you'd like.
So moving back to here.
Okay.
Sorry,
bro.
No, it's fine. You had nothing else to do tonight, right?
No.
And you love talking traffic studies.
Love traffic.
Well, talking about traffic with your two projects here, we do have this combined report from February 2021. We're being asked now to reaffirm a negative declaration on the SEACER assessment as we did back 3 years ago. So the question I have is whether we should be considering changes that have occurred in the meantime.
Well, the thing is this, is every traffic study done since then, if I'm not incorrect, has included this traffic for this development. Well, no, because it never went to full approval.
That was going to be my question to bring back in was, does this include the biochar traffic that comes in? Does it include anything else that's expanded in the last 3 years?
This would have been included because this did get a conditional final approval.
That's what I'm thinking. It was still conditional, which means it got put on the dot. So any other projects that come in would have to include that.
The only thing this subdivision didn't get was, I think, if I'm correct, is the stamp, because
signature.
The sewer law came
correct.
Before the signatures,
am I right?
Before the Mylars were presented, the law was proposed and a moratorium was put in that shut down any further approvals.
I think at the actual time of this approval, he had to get a DOH letter saying the septic systems were going to were
right.
acceptable because it was under 49 lots.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
So.
The water was approved, everything, right?
Yeah. Everything was ready to go, and it really came down to the change in the law from the town and the sewer.
Right. Right. That's what I thought. And why did that?
So I think where John was going with this is that this project was given to any other project that requested, you know, what are the approved projects in the town for traffic study? Like, I think the person who was doing the commercial subdivision on Old Saratoga Road there, that got through here to sketch plan with you guys, they asked for it. And they were given this as one of the projects that was approved.
So mainly what we're looking for today is to just verify that the changes made at the current point, this changing over to sewer, eliminating those three lots, are not substantial enough to reopen. We can just review it and make the adjustment.
And what we'd be looking for would be amended subdivision approval
right.
tonight.
Have you heard from the water department? In terms of wastewater capacity?
Water has already been approved for the 84 lots. We had approval for that in the previous subdivision. The sanitary sewer, we are working with the town, which will ultimately require DEC approval for the connection to the sewer system. And again, the town is the ones that are promoting that this project be connected to sewer. The town has the sewer. Has to be resolved.
Yeah, I had just heard that we have capacity problems.
I don't know the details of it, but I'd be shocked that a brand new sanitary sewer system has
I think the capacity problem existed with treatment at the Glens Falls plant. Now directing this to Saratoga County alleviates that.
I don't know that it's this project will be diverted to Saratoga
yes.
County.
Yes, that's what he just said.
I believe they got plenty of capacity going to Saratoga County, right?
Didn't you say that the line goes to Saratoga County? One that's being
yeah, my understanding is this goes down Bloomberg to Route 9 to Saratoga County.
Right.
And then goes right through the Ag District to Saratoga County.
Right, right.
It didn't go south of Exit 17 on Route 9 for our commercial zone.
So it's not dependent on consolidation?
No.
That that route be used?
No.
No.
So
I believe they want customers.
Well, I know they don't. I'm sure they do. I'm just curious as to whether or not we need the Department of Water to confirm.
No, I would recommend that if you do entertain a decision, it be conditioned upon, you know, sign off, you know, from the Water and Wastewater Department and the Town Board, you know, approving the connection.
It would be kind of ironic if this project was held up for years because you were required to tie into a sewer that doesn't have capacity for you to tie into it.
Yep.
That would be really, I would love
to. I think it's one word you could say.
I would love to see the explanation for that one.
we need a motion to approve.
An amendment.
An amendment to approve.
No, a motion to approve an amendment.
A motion to approve an amendment.
Plan as amended.
Before we get to that, though, I'm still a little concerned about the traffic. And if that wrote down, they asked to reaffirm her name and declaration, and 3 years have passed. And this is a full report. And it may be that there are no changes, but I would like to have some kind of confirmation that traffic hasn't become a problem.
I think it's going to be, that's quite a big ask, considering this project was approved with 84 lots and received a negative declaration saying that there was no negative traffic impacts and we're reducing the amount of units within this site. That would be asking the board to change their determination on SEACR.
But you're asking us to reaffirm our SEACR.
I don't even know that it needs to be reaffirmed. SEACR does not need to be reaffirmed.
Okay, that's the way it was cast on the agenda. It's something I read.
My understanding, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, the only thing that needs to be done is subdivision, modification of subdivision.
Yeah, not unless there can be some quantification or that there is a quantifiable impact resulting from the change. I don't know why you would reopen SEACR. I mean, if this was an amendment involving, you know, an additional 30 lots or something like that, then I could see.
Well, no, it would be required that you would have to do that.
Yeah, but I
reduced a lot.
I mean,
it's a reduction in impacts.
Again, it's your call as a board. You're the chief. If you want to reopen it, you can. Or if you want affirmation of it, you can. But from my standpoint, I don't see the you know, there's been no major projects approved in that interim time frame.
Well, and if they had been,
it would have
their traffic study would have had to take into consideration the traffic from this study.
That's correct.
I mean, I think
which is what the other project that's proposed that's in front of us did, and they showed a that one caught some stuff, right?
Yeah.
It collected things, okay, but that was assuming this was already part of that impact. So
I'm fine. I think I just got the sense from prior email or whatever that we were actually taking some kind of action on SEACR assessment. If we can bypass that, I'm fine.
And I think he has a good argument that if anything, he's lowered impacts with SEACR. Not only because of the fewer lots, but because you're now not using sanitary septic, you're using sewer. So, but with that said, Mike.
Okay.
Now remember, we talked about it as one unit, but we have to make the amended approvals as two separate units. So if you want to have fun, we do one and not the other, and then watch them really get hurt.
I'm not really sure how I want to point this.
Well, there's no phase one or phase two. Well, that's the funny thing. I know in our agenda it says phase one and phase two, but it is not. They are two separate developments with commingled utilities and.
So I want to make the motion to approve this thing with sewer.
I'd recommend you make a motion to approve the amendment as presented for Arrowhead. Go through that, and then if so be it, there's a second motion.
Yeah,
SHRT
yeah,
and I would reference the building lots too.
Somebody help me along
with this. Did we ever get the final? You said final.
So the adjustment on Arrowhead is from 44 units to 42.
No, we never did.
And from sanitary.
We got additional approval, but it never got submitted because they couldn't get the additional.
But we're making a motion.
We'd like to make a motion for an amendment to the current the proposal.
Accept the amended proposal.
Go ahead and make it.
Before you go on, just because they never submitted the final plan because they had a condition of DOH approval, there were probably conditions, Jim Arthur, that were supposed to be written onto that final plan. I just can't remember 3 years ago what those things should have been. So they may need to. We may need to make sure that the site plans they submit now with a new number of lots carries forward the conditions that. Should still carry forward, other than
And
I'm just not sure how you technically.
Well, I would simply, you could put in a line there that all prior conditions of the prior approval still hold.
Okay. Go ahead, Matt.
Except for one of them. Because I think one of the prior conditions was the DOH approval.
Right.
Accepted.
And they have the Department of Water.
What a confusing motion.
Let's just go back to the beginning and start all.
Thanks, John. I think I started working on this.
All right, so just so I got, okay, so we got 42 building lots in Arrowhead. We got 39 in SRH TJF.
Correct.
Well, how did the HOA lots split down, the common area lots in those?
So separately, this is going to get real confusing. Four HOA lots. Four HOA lots in Arrowhead.
Okay.
Is there anything?
Two.
No. It's not 10 yet.
Four.
Mike, it's not 10 yet.
Four in.
In TJM, SHR, TJM.
So each has four HOA lots.
Correct.
Okay.
Are these two separate subdivisions going to have two separate HOAs?
I would assume they may get merged at some point, but as far as the filing goes, they would be separate.
But they have to be counted as separate because they're not contiguous?
They are contiguous to each other. For instance, we said there's only three HOA parcels.
Yeah.
But because this line separates the two properties, this HOA piece of land is on two properties, this HOA is on two properties, this HOA is not contiguous, it's broken up by property lines.
But that's why you're counting them as separate lots, because they're not contiguous. So the
correct, they would be part of separate.
Well, you're going to have to make a decision when you go to the county and file a plat. Either they're going to get tax dot numbers or not.
Yeah, as part of this, they're going to get tax map numbers. Subsequently, maybe they get merged into one HOA at a later date.
Right.
So I'm wondering is why the HOA can't hold all of them as a lot or as a property, even though they don't touch each other. But I could be wrong on that. So, all right. So what was our number again? So we make sure we get this right for Arrowhead Meadows. How many individual 42 lots?
42 building lots.
Okay, and
plus
how many?
Four HOA.
Four HOA lots.
So that's a total of 46 lots.
And acreage for HOA and stormwater remain the same as before.
They may be slightly different than previously approved. From we did do some reconfiguring of lots. We split them up. I'd say they're within half an acre of what they previously were, plus or minus. But for all intents and purposes, they are relatively the same as previously.
That's true. So stormwater is not HOA.
Correct.
Okay, so SRH, TJM, we have 39 building lots. How many?
Four
there also?
Yep, so you have 43 lots in it. SRH, DJM, and you have 46 lots in Arrowhead.
Yeah, John, I assume that when you said you reduced the number of lots, that that was not going to affect stormwater management or HOA acreage. If you're affected, stormwater management maybe concerns me more than the HOA.
So the size of the stormwater management areas did not change. The actual physical grading and volumes of the capacities did not change as a result of the reduction in units, which actually results in reduction in the impervious area. So those did not change.
Okay, so the ponds are the same.
The ponds are the same. The actual physical land area is probably slightly varied between this configuration we're proposing and this configuration which we're showing. I'd say relatively insignificant, so it's really a matter of, if you look here, there are 7 lots there. 8. It was a reconfiguration of the lots. We took 3 lots out and we added, say each of those lots were 70 feet wide. We took that 210 feet total and redistributed that width into all the other lots. That may have changed some of the points in the rear of these parcels where they connect to the HOA. So there might be a slight variation in the total HOA.
Your stormwater infrastructure, piping, pond sizing, all that is unchanged.
Correct.
Okay, so back to where we were 10 minutes ago. Would anybody like to make a motion on Arrowhead Meadows LLC amended site, well, not amended subdivision plan?
Alright, so I'd like to make a motion to accept the amended site plan with the previously approved conditions, removing the requirement of DOH approval based on the removal of the septic systems as presented in the site plan here tonight, with confirmation that the stormwater calculations will support the reduction in the buildable lots.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second.
You have to repeat what he said.
And just for discussion, also add approval from the Department of Water as a condition.
Approval from what?
The Department of Water.
The Water Department.
And that was for septic hookup.
Yes.
Yeah. Just to verify that the septic will actually work, or the sewer will work. It should. I would hope
so. So approval added the condition of approval from the town of Moreau sewer water department.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're not going to get signatures without it.
Yep, I'm sure so. We won't.
This is for which now? Which one?
This is for Arrowhead.
Arrowhead. I would, in parentheses, behind that word amendment, I would put for 39 building lots and 4 HOA lots.
Arrowhead's 42.
For Arrowhead, 42 building lots and 4 HOA lots for a combined total of 46 lots.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a motion and a second on it. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. Would you please call the roll on that?
Adam Siebold.
Yes.
Ann Purdue.
Yes.
Bradley Tuhill.
Yes.
John Arnold.
Yes.
Matt Abrams.
Yes.
Mike Shaver.
Yes.
Bradley Nelson.
Yes.
And John.
I concur. So, that's unanimous. Now, we've approved the amendment to the site plan. We then have to do a re-final approval on that.
Well, authorize a planning board member and another, or the chairman.
That's not what I'm asking. Do we have to redo our final approval now that we have an amended plan?
No, I don't think so. I think we just did that.
So we're just approving the amendment?
Correct.
To the already approved. Okay. All right. That's what I'm just asking.
Yep.
I want to make sure we don't miss a step here. So, then I would be looking for a motion. It's our boilerplate one for the chairman and one other board member to sign the Mylar form presented to the building department after all the conditions have been met.
I'll make that motion.
As presented, right?
As presented.
All right. Would anybody like to second that motion as presented?
Second.
A motion and a second. Is there any discussion on that? Not hearing any. That one's not too terribly controversial. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Hearing no opposition. Certainly not a majority opposition. That one passed. So that moves us on. Arrowhead Meadows has now been approved as amended. Would anybody like to do anything with SRH-TJM LLC? I'm going to give it a little more clever name.
With the exception of the lot numbers are different, if Matt wants to do that. What were the lot numbers in this one?
There was 43 lots in total, with
39 building lots, 4 HOA lots.
Sorry, 39 building lots, 4 HOA lots for 43 lots in total. So the only other question, just throw this one out there, is there was talk about connecting, I know the original site plan was approved. Unfortunately, I wasn't privy to that. I don't think I could look at it before the meeting. But was there mention of a connection between a pathway for the Moreau Rec to this area? Or is that through that parcel that's on the lower application, I'm sure. Was there any?
There was no way to connect. See, if you look at that right-hand corner, yep, the point to it, at that exact point, it meets with the park.
Okay. So, okay, with Arrowhead, not the Spurs.
And what had been proposed with the other development, not the current one south of there, but the one before, proposed them allowing access through that corner on their property, the other property, to gain access to the park. And the previous builder, who's no longer building this project, said he would have no problem putting walkways or pathways in, so the kids wouldn't be riding their bicycles down Route 9 or Bluebird Road to get there. They could go through the HOA properties. Mm-hmm. However, that's all the players have changed now. So that's a different thing that could be brought up. With the property south of there when it's developed, but after tonight will no longer be. The only way you'd be able to do it is if this HOA chose to do it. Okay. The people. Now, I would imagine the people that live in the houses might want that back so their kids don't have to ride their bikes on, you know, Bluebird Road, okay, 32. Yep. Or they might decide they don't want a bunch of kids riding their bikes and walking out behind their houses. You don't know.
Yeah, so there is accommodations as far as we can get to that corner.
Yeah, there's room for it. That's what what the previous builder said, is there's room to do it and it can be done.
This is HOA land here, so there's the pathway. The park is here. We don't have control of this land or this land. So the only way to actually get physical connection is through, you'd have to have collaboration with one or both of those parcels.
Yeah. And there was not actually never, nobody even approached the town board as to whether that corner would be accessible to the park. If the town would even allow that, we would have been. Yes. So at the moment, then, Matt, are you making a motion that is mirror replica of the previous motion, except the changing of the lot numbers?
I am, yes.
Okay. So we have, is there anything else you want to add to it? With that in mind, is there a second to that motion?
I'll second. I second the motion.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to accept the amended proposal, or amendments to the proposal. Is there any discussion? What would you want to say? I'm not hearing any, so if that's the case, then I would ask the secretary to please call the roll.
All right. Ann Perdue.
Yes.
Adam Siegel.
Yes.
Bradley Tuhill.
Yes.
Matt Abrams.
Yes.
Mike Shaver.
Yep.
Bradley Nelson.
Yes.
And John Arnold.
Yes. And that's 7-0. There's another motion for that. That one also passes. And there's one other motion for that one also. Would we like the chairman and one other member to sign the Mylars when presented in the building department?
Make a motion to have the chairman and one other additional member of the board to sign the Mylars upon approval through the zoning board. Correction,
no. Building department.
Second.
Motion and a second. Second by Adam. That was not too controversial. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Hearing no opposition, then it looks like I'm going to spend a lot of hours pouring over plans and signing them. So, any questions?
Just clarification on the way that motion is about signing. Do the chairman and one of them, are they signing, or are they both present for the signing?
They signed.
They both signed. Two signatures.
Can be at different times. One person, like we usually like to have the chairman come in first.
I hope that's not the reason you canceled the plan.
That's it. No, guys, there are people there. We're done.
I thought it was different in the past, but I just want to make sure. The
way it works in my world is the building department calls me and tells me your plans have been submitted, and then I come in as quickly as I can. Crop season starts in about 2 months. So don't waste your time, because if they come in May, there's a good chance they might sit there for a couple weeks. I will try my hardest. I do not take them home. I sign them right in on the table in the building department. Usually I sign them, and then somebody else comes in and signs under my signature, and you're good to go.
Well,
It's going to be multiple pages, okay, and it takes a long time to sign up.
It's probably about 20 pages per set, and it's probably 5 sets.
Yeah, I think 3, right? Yeah, there's 3 sets.
Huh?
Yeah, it's 20-some pages, 3 sets, and this is going to be 6 sets, because there's one for each of them. So, yeah.
I'll sign your name for you.
You know, I understand. They have a stamp for the signature line. I'd love them to give me a stamp for my signature because my hand gets tired. I don't sign that. Man. I don't get to touch the checkbook at home. I don't get to touch that. So I do a lot of signing. So as far as I can tell, I've exhausted our agenda for the evening.
And do you have your voucher?
Jim, do you have anything else for us?
Nope, but I will put a discussion item on for March for traffic for the on Route 9.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very reasonable concern.
Yeah.
All
right. No, I do. Yes.
I actually see it from my house. I can see the traffic back up to Old West Road. I don't know, especially when it's holiday season, too, when they throw that in with rush hours. So.
Thank you,
everyone.
Have a great night.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that when I was a kid, we blasted some rocks as they left when they did the moratorium. They left a pile of rocks out in the field up in the north. And we had Britain come in and blast them. And my dad's job was to go out on the northway, look south, and tell Mr. Britton how there was no traffic coming. And they could blast the rocks. And he had to have 5 minutes because there had to be time for the rocks.